Yeah. Yes, I hope you can hear me very well now. Yes, I know you can hear me very well now. Yeah, that's James saying favor. Now, before we went to the outbreaks, ad breaks, I wanted to share with you a little story on what happened. I wanted to share with you what happened to me. It happened that some years back, when I was still in high school, I was just going for grade 8, and hey, it happened. Hey, you know, an accident, identity crisis accident. That's what I call it, identity crisis accident. Basically, what happened, in short, I am Kolo fellow Kingsley Malaji, and I'm originally from Bulawayo. That is in Zanin, Bulawayo in Zanin. And before I go, let me just pass here once more again. I'll be back to you.
For years, I traveled a road all wrong. My heart, oh, had lost every joy, oh, every song. Then grace placed me right where I belong. Mercy rewrote my life. I could have fallen, my soul, oh, cast down, but mercy rewrote my mistakes were turned into miracles. Every tear was turned into joy. My sins forgiven, a new name was written. Thank God, when mercy rewrote my life. Help me sing the song now. Mercy rewrote my life.
Yeah, roll mercy. That's Jimmy Swaggart. That's Jimmy Swaggart saying mercy rewrote my life. I don't know about you. I've experienced the mercy of God rewriting my life once more again.
my soul cast weight. But mercy rewrote my mind.
One more time.
I could have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy.
Yeah, that's Jimmy Swaggart saying mercy rewrote my life. And we have a lot of things happening in our lives, and it's so lovely and it's a warm thing when the mercy of God comes to you again to rewrite your life. The time now is 8 minutes past 11 on the clock. I must confess that today our programs didn't really run as we really desired, and it was a little bit discouraging, but we thank God it was a good start. I was about to be talking about I was saying let me just start all over again, so that if anyone who is listening to me and hearing me again, please just forgive me. That's how we sometimes roll. So, I was saying that me being Molobedu from Zanin, Akosi Mujaji, our rain queen, when I went to the boarding house in some way back, I think it was somewhere in 2002, 2003, somewhere around there, I had this inferiority complex due to my skin color that was a little bit dark, and the fact that I speak Kelowedu was an inferior language at those side in Pipirast around Polokwane. That thing was really disturbing me, because when I went there and the people around there were speaking Sepedi, Sepedi, Setswana, Sepedi, Setswana English. And I was a typical village boy, speaking Kelowedu. My skin color was a little bit darker than theirs because of the humidity there. The sun is a little bit hot, which makes people from Zanin and going down there towards the equator, Venda and other places down there, most of their skin colors are a little bit darker. Most of them, not all, most of them. And when I went to the boarding house, I remember I lied about my identity crisis. They said, "Where are you from?" I said, I'm from Flora Park in Zanin. Flora Park is a suburb in Zanin, one of the best or good suburbs then, especially. I said, I'm from Flora Park. Now, it happened that this one weekend, I lied. I said, I don't even know Sepedi. I don't even know Kelowedu. I know Sepedi. I am Purdy boy. I don't know Kelowedu. I am Purdy. So, it was a lie. My father is Lobedu. My mother is Molobedu. I'm 100% Molobedu. And yes, I'm a little bit dark. I'm well toned, I'm well cooked, I'm well baked under the sun of Molobedu. So now, when I went there and I lied about my identity crisis just to protect my ego and my life, at least then, it happened that this other weekend when we were just chilling there, and your ladies were there, you know, Amantombaza, Nabe Bakwele, William Dow, and I had to protect myself. They said, "Where are you from?" So this other guy was also from Flora Park. They said, "Ah, KK, you said you're from Flora Park. He is your homeboy. This guy is also from Flora Park." And the ladies were there. You know, they wanted to chill with us guys from the suburb. Ooh, and I was, my ears were just standing up like that. Because I didn't even know where Flora, how Flora Park looks like. I didn't even know anything about Flora Park. I think the only thing I knew about Flora Park was that there was a street called, was it Market or what? That street, I forgot it. And now that guy came and said, "Oh, you're from Flora Park." And the ladies were there. I said, "Yeah, man, I'm from Flora Park in Zanin." And now this guy said, "Oh, okay, I'm also from Flora Park. where in Flora Park are you from? Ish, Lendoda. Where am I from? Lendoda, I'm from Flora Park. What else do you want? I'm from Flora Park. And said, no, where in Flora Park are you from? Ish, I was disturbed. Because I didn't know anywhere in Flora Park. I mean, I've never been to Flora Park to this far. And here you are, you're asking me. I said, I'm from that side, just by the shops there. Yeah, by the shops there. He said, oh, by what street? Immediately when he named the street, I said, yes, I'm from there. He said, oh, that's great. I don't stay. I say, blah, stay at what street. Okay, it's fine. Yes, I'm from what street. It is from that day. So I also knew the name of the street that I was staying, supposedly. I was staying in. Now, that was called inferiority complex.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God who sits upon the
Yeah, and how I love you, Lord. Now, we just need to look at some of the after effects of xenophobia and apartheid, that somehow this thing has crippled our emotional being and also our thinking capabilities, and has killed our confidence in our kush or our blackness, our skin color as African people. And also, you know, among the white people, that thing has dealt treacherously with their mind and mindset also. There's a lot of damage that needs to be done. You can see that people are also conscious of their color skin. You can see that in the children. You see children who are very xenophobic or even racial. Very racial, very, 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 very racial, and I mean they are racists, and you'll be amazed as what's happening. Why people are reacting like that? It's also because of the after effects of what we suffered in those years of many, many years of white supremacy oppression. Not only did it impose and dent our ability to see ourselves as best people, as good people, but it also dealt with how we looked ourselves and how they look at us. I mean, when I mean they, I'm talking about white people, because then that's what we were suffering from. And also, that is also now it's manifesting among us as black people, whereby we look at ourselves and we begin to wonder if another black person from Uganda, from Zimbabwe, you know, we begin to pull those things. It also shows that somehow our minds are broken, our minds are disturbed, and we need healing in that area, because regardless of what color somebody is, whether they are darker than you or you are lighter than them, you are whatever you are, the main thing remains that your blood is red. And the more we come to Christ, we do understand that our blood, we are washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. And that makes us one. Regardless of what we are, who we are one people. I like it how the late reggae singer Lucky Dube sang a song that says, different colors but one people. Yeah, and that's how we should treat ourselves and treat other people. We should not think ourselves of as low, somebody who cannot achieve. I still remember, you know, there are a lot of events and scenes that I can recall whereby this inferiority complex really worked to my disadvantage, relationship wise, friendship wise, oh, I had to leave. And I don't think I'm dark. I think I'm well baked under the sun. I don't think I'm dark. I know this one sounds like some wedding songs for Batubagos Kuku Nebuchabu Kakwa. I know you're thinking like Matwale Tibakamo. But One People with me, Pastor KK Malaji, broadcasting live from the Ravi Ridge headquarters. We thank the Lord for that. And now let's talk. If you are in a relationship with a white person, let's say you are black, you are in a relationship with a white person, or maybe you are a white person, you are in a relationship with a black person, or an Indian, or somebody from a different ethnic background as you, would you find that, what do you think are the challenges that come with that? Wherever you are hearing me, what do you think would be the challenges? What do you think are the challenges of people who are living with, you know, different partner from different ethnic background? Some of the challenges that you think people meet. I've never been that kind of relationship, but I think those are some of the things that we should do, because as far as things like marriages are concerned, ethnic background doesn't really matter a lot, especially if the two people and two families have agreed, two people, especially the people that are concerned, the couple has agreed, that's what matters the most. And yeah, as to this one is Indian, this one is colored, this one is black, it's a problem of the community. It's no longer your problem. Yeah. We see that in our communities here. We see that in our community here, a lot of people are experiencing that kind of a crisis. As you are thinking of some of the things, when I come, please can somebody leave our comments in our chat group there. If you're listening to us, just drop me a message there on what you think you would meet, the challenges that you would think you will have. Let's talk about you, the challenges that you think you might have if you were to date somebody of your different ethnic background as you. What would you meet? What would be the challenges that you would meet? And what were you going to do with those challenges? How are you going to overcome them? Both spiritually, culturally, traditionally, financially, don't know, romantically, churchically, communitically, what do you mean? What do you mean? The time is 11:23. Although my time in the studio was sabotaged by some technical errors. Kwali kwali wamvrusta na muse. Young Tall alive in Rubber Ridge by the Grace Radio. A station that brings hope in the matter situation that you are in. We are by the Grace Radio. We are ready to bring hope in your life. Now, before we went to the ad breaks, I was just asking you on the challenges that one would have if you were to date somebody from a different ethnic group as you. What would you face from the community, from the church? Do you think, as the pastor, or as somebody in the church, somebody born again, would you have a problem if you were to date or you were to get married to somebody who is of different ethnic background as you? I don't know about you. So, the thing is that we have a different challenges. Our community is shaped somehow, especially, you know, coming from apartheid system, coming from xenophobic system, we still have that problem. And now, here is the thing, as you are busy thinking about that, have you realized that recently, most of especially our South African ladies, they are now more into marrying the foreign nationals. I'm not really sure what causes that. I would really like to know. I would really, really, really like to know. We have more and more of South African Bokumoto, sorry to mention names, Bokumoto, Bosarabo, Melita, Bo Wababo, Namos, all the names, the beautiful South African names. Most of them you find that they tend to want to get married to foreign nationals for many different reasons, of which I am very curious. I would like to know why. And of course, we know that a lot of people think that it's because of money. But is it really? Is it really, 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 really money? And of course, we do have some people who think is because foreign nationals become good and good husbands. They make good husbands. I don't know whether they're referring to which industry they're talking about, but I don't know. You be judge. I don't know which what they're talking about. I'd like to know what you're saying, Mutele Juaka. Thank you. Yeah. Ke ka mo hawa Ramasedi. Why do you think our sisters here, South African sisters, are likely, or they tend to, not all, but they tend to want to marry more foreign nationals? And it seems like it's trending, if I can say it's trending. A lot of people prefer that for the reasons I would like to know. What do you think? Why do you think? Is it money? Or is it because foreign nationals can give more love than African brothers, South African brothers? What do you think about that? Something to think about. Something to really ponder on. Why do you think our African brothers tend to want to get married, to have kids with foreign nationals? Akungitshele ke mzalwane. Of course, it's everyone have their own reasons why they would have that. Everyone have their own reasons. But in any ways, we thank God. But for me, it also shows, from my perspective, it also shows that somehow, slowly, we are breaking the barriers, the cultural barriers, the color barriers, the ethnic barriers that have been shielding and debarring us from interacting with African brothers, with people from different ethnic backgrounds. What I just hope is that we are doing that in a good spirit. We are doing that out of a good heart. And yeah, I'm just hoping that. I don't have much. It's a good thing, especially when done on great the basis of goodness and clear motives, calculated motives, so that you don't end up going into danger. But otherwise, other than that, I think I would marry an English person. Yeah, a white person. I can marry a white person as long as they can cook pap. For me, pap and stampa, and they can cook modu di gma shon german jagere get them as it. Oh my God, then I think I'm ready. I can marry. I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, so I don't know about you, but now this thing, we have a thing that in our country here, due to the after effects that we suffered only, from the apartheid system, which eventually led to us practicing xenophobia, you know, the xenophobia that we were experiencing in some of the townships in Alexander, here in Durban, in different places, in Khayelitsha, some of the places that experience xenophobia, whereby South African citizens were attacking foreign nationals for many reasons that are not really worth it. And of course, a lot of people lost their lives. Some of the foreign nationals went on back home with their brothers missing, their mothers missing, and they didn't even know what to say when they arrived back home. As a result of our South African citizens who just launched some serious ambush attacks on everyone who's foreign national, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Maputo, you know. And what amazes me is that how do you attack somebody from Malawi if you cannot attack somebody from Britain? How do you launch an attack against your fellow African brother, and yet you are working for your boss is also from Britain or Asia? You know, I'm concerned with that. It's because we are attacking each other because of ethnic background. I'm troubled. I'm just troubled. I mean, how do you do that? How do you do that? It's something to think about. Okay, the time is 11:33. I'm just left with a few minutes to leave the studios. I'm hoping to be joining you once more again somewhere during the week. Yeah, we thank God anyway. So, as I was saying, that we need to understand the plan and the purposes of God for humanity. That God does not want us, or does not look at us as in like this one is black, this one is white. God looks as at us, especially when we are blood washed. We are washed by the blood of the Lamb. We carry the same identity, which is the children of God. We are born anew with the image that we bear in the spirit is no longer the same image that we carry before we got born again. And now there's no more Greek, there's no more Jew. We are just having one people. So we thank God. We thank God for that. We thank God for that. Yeah, let me just go to the ad breaks. I'll be joining you not long.
My God is good.
By the Grace Radio with me, Pastor KK, in the studios. We are hoping in somewhere during the week to be hosting some, like I said, the topics that I've already introduced. We'll be looking at people living with albinism. We'll have Mamabolo, Mamruti Mamabolo. She will be speaking from a medical perspective. We'll be having Pastor Patrick Mdebele. He will also speak from spiritual perspective and also psychological perspective. And of course, we'll have another two guests that I'll be hosting on my show. During the week, it's going to be hot in the house. It's just going to be so hot. And we'll be discussing things like albinism. That's one of the topics that we'll discuss. Discuss intimate marital relations, whereby somebody marries somebody from a different ethnic background. That's what we'll also be looking at. Yeah. We'll also cross boundaries, you know, marrying a Pedi from a Tswana, meeting Tswana from Pedi. Wow, it's just going to be awesome in the house. It's just going to be so awesome in the house. And of course, we'll be looking at xenophobia, the effects of xenophobia. We'll also have, I will try by all means to look at, to have some people. Yeah. It's going to be lit. Guzoba lit. In the house. Guzoba lit in the house. Yeah. That's James saying, turning around, turning around. Our time is 11:39, which I'm left with 20 minutes to log off the studios. What is your take? What is your take on marrying somebody? Yeah. Oh God, I just feel like rushing things. Let me not go ahead of myself now. There are other aspects of our lives that need healing with time. You know, I always look at how our students, especially our students from universities, people from the local communities, every time when they have to be heard by the authorities, by the government, they always have to be what we call in our language toy toy, meaning that they strike. There has to be, you know, people have to carry sticks, cause vandalism along the streets and cause all those sorts of things. And I'm really wondering, that is it really, really, really necessary for us to be carrying those things? Does it have any effect on the on how we were brought up? Isn't there a special way? Isn't there other ways that we can make our voice heard? That's what I'm really asking myself. And I feel like somehow this thing has to do with the frustrations and the after effects of what these guys went through. And now this is the only way that they feel they can be heard. I really wonder. So that's James.
Fever shall follow me everywhere I go. Fever shall follow me everywhere I go. Money shall follow me everywhere I go. Miracle jobs shall follow me everywhere I go. Cause I am favored.
Let me just read you a certain scripture, then I will extrapolate. Colossians chapter number 3, we will read from verse 10 to 11. Colossians chapter number 3, I will read from verse 10 to 11. And yeah, it's a very serious scripture. It says from verse 10, "And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all." Wow. Bible says that now there is no more Jew, there is no more Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Wow. So meaning that God does not see us with the image of our ethnic backgrounds. He does not look at us that no, we're not umZulu, ngizodila nawe as a Zulu man or as a Zulu woman. He does not do those things. He deals with us based on the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, the blood of Jesus Christ has set us free from any ethnic bound. We are no longer within the boundaries of the skin color that we are in. We are one. We are one in the spirit. And as I also extend the borders, it's not only in the Christendom or in the family of God of restricted to people who are born again. Even for those people who are not born again, unity. We need to teach people that you are, if somebody is darker than you, it does not mean that their hearts are darker than you, or their blood are darker than you, or their brains are darker. It only means that their pigment, as we will be speaking, I said earlier that we'll be speaking also about albinism. It will be one of the topics. Because the difference in our skin color is basically the pigment called melanin. Melanin is the pigment that is in our skin that determines the skin color. In the case of albinism, that's where you find that their skin, the pigment, it's very, 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 very low or reduced. And that's why, you know, they would experience that kind of skin rash, you know, they would experience different skin color, skin diseases when they're exposed to the sun and things like that. But if you really look at it, that's the only pigment. It's only pigment problem that they are having. It's not heart problem. It's not mental problem. It's not social problem. It's just their pigment. And by that, we need to learn that people differ with color, but they are one. If you were to punch me now, you will see that the blood that comes out of me, it's not Lobedu. My blood is not Zulu. My blood is not Tosa, Swati, Swahili, Ghanaian, Nigerian, Botswanian. My blood is red. And now that's what makes a difference. So we will, let me just go here. And then when I come back, just want us to extrapolate more on the topics that we'll be dealing with. We'll touch albinism, we'll touch intermarital relationships, we will touch after effects of xenophobia, and we'll also look at the issue of apartheid, the after effects of the apartheid that is caused and seen among the children, among the couples in the workplaces, the, you know, those kind of things, and how to deal with that if you are somebody who is exposed to that at your workplace, whereby you are experiencing people who are treating you that way, or you yourself, you still have this inferiority complex inside you that when you see maybe somebody who's of a different color skin, you still think, oh, boss yami, you still think that, and that's what also has limited us, you know. Or maybe you are even angry every time you see a white person, you like, you owe me. We need to deal with that. We need to look at that as we come back. Let me just pause here. Time is 11:52. I'm just about to log off from the studio. Pastor KK, that's different colors, but one people, with Pastor KK broadcasting live from Rabbi Ridge in the headquarters of By the Grace Radio. We're busy discussing the issues of a color, ethnic background and color difference. I think we've covered, we've tried to touch some of the points. That's what we will be discussing with you on Friday and Saturday. We will be looking at those 3 points. I'm really hoping that we cover them because they are also very, very, very crucial. But after all, let me also read a scripture because I'll be logging off not long from now. Let me read you a scripture. And then I will just be saying goodbye, not long. That's Acts chapter number 10, from verse 34 to 35. The book of Acts chapter number 34 to chapter 10, verse 34 to 35. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accept every nation, that one who fears him and does what is right. That is right. So God does not show favoritism to any nation or ethnic background. So we begin to see the perspective of God as far as skin color difference is concerned. That God does not say, I favor white people. God does not say, I favor Indians. God does not say, I favor black people. God favors any person that comes to him and begins to reconcile and begin to live inside God and by the kingdom and the principles of God. God says, I honor that person. It does not matter what they come from, what background, ethnic background they come from, as long as they are in God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has gone and the new has come. And now that's what matters most, that we have, don't forget, we have the spiritual part of a being and we have the physical part of a being. which are different. You are black in your skin, or on your skin. It is your skin color that is black. Your spirit is not black. Your spirit doesn't have color. Your spirit is the spirit. Spirits don't carry color. And you are not black in your spirit. You're not black in your mind. You're not black in your... don't think as a black person. You must think first as a person. Then you later think as a black person or white person. But the most important thing is that you are a person before you become black and before you become white. And no matter what you are and where you are, just remember that your skin color is not going to determine where you can go in life and how far you can go. Your skin color should not be a standard for your breakthroughs, should not be a standard for determining your destiny. What determines your destiny is the plan of God. What God has predestined about your life. And as long as you settle that in your heart, that wealth is not for black people or white people. Good marriages are not for white people or good people or black people. Good marriages, wealth, prosperity, health is for every person that is of God. The Bible says God is the God of all flesh. As long as you are flesh, you are not plastic. Oh my God, nothing is going to stop you. Nothing is going to stop you, whether you're coming from any country. Just tell yourself that this is not going to be a standard for my breakthroughs. This is not going to be a standard for my future. Your future was determined before your skin color was set. So immediately you set that in your mind. Oh, you're going to have a great time. Now, as I'll be logging off for our next program, I would like to really, first of all, appreciate your efforts, everyone listening to us from different spaces, different countries, different towns. South Africa here in our country, South Africa, different provinces, different towns. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And outside South Africa and Africa, we really thank you so much. And in outside Africa, in America, Barbados, Botswana, Lesotho, everywhere you might be streaming live from, thank you so much. And we hope you are so blessed. And may you please forgive us for a little inconvenience that we had. We were inconvenienced due to some technical problems that we experienced in the studios. But we are promising you that each time it will get better and better and bigger and better. With your support, of course, we believe we will go far. I thank you so much, and may God truly bless you till we meet again. Don't forget, no matter what it matter, you will matter when it matter the most. That's me, KK, with different colors but one people. As I say, Shalom.
Different colors, one people, we pastor, Nathan Kulfuno Malachi,
Mighty Joe, AM.
By the grace right here, just for a soul.
No matter what you're going through, I know that you can stand. For your life is in His hands. Listen.
No matter what comes my way,
Jesus, my life
is in your hands.
Let's sing it together. Don't you be afraid.
And don't you be afraid.
Joy cometh in the morning.
Joy comes in the morning.
Troubles, they don't last always.
Troubles, they don't last always.
Ah, for there's a good nation.
For there's a friend in Jesus.
Who will wipe every tear?
Who will wipe your tears away?
And if your heart is broken.
And if your heart is broken.
Just lift those hands up.
Just lift your hands.
Come on, sing it with me. I know I can.
Oh, I know that I can.
Bless your name, Jesus. I know.
I know that I can.
No matter what may come my way.
No matter what may come my way.
My life.
My life is in
you. Oh, hallelujah. With Jesus, I can take this.
Jesus, I can take
it. I really love you, Jesus. With him.